For the first Sunday of Advent, the epistle is taken from Romans chapter 13. Brethren, knowing the time that is the hour for us to rise from sleep, now for our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is past and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is taken from Luke chapter 21. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear in expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of the heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude. "See the fig tree and all the trees, when they shall now shoot forth their fruit, you know that the summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. It is an honor for me to be here this morning to introduce myself to the rest of this parish who have not yet met, but I am one of the three priests stationed here in Denver. I am Father Richard Boyle. I was ordained in June with Father Rutledge in Winona, and this is my first station. And I have now been assigned to North and South Dakota, switching off every other week, so that is why you do not see me here often. But I'm here teaching at the school and helping, hopefully, to save many souls through the grace of the priesthood. But since I am a new priest, I have the grace to offer you my first blessing after Mass for those who have not yet received it. So you may remember from Father Rutledge, but you may come to the communion rail after Mass for those who wish to receive the first blessing. Now it is the hour to rise from sleep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With every season, there is a particular fruit. And with every fruit, there are particular devotions in order to enhance the reception of this fruit. So we find ourselves now in the season of Advent, the beginning of the liturgical year, which is an opportunity for much grace. But what is the fruit of this season of Advent? It is the purification of soul in preparation for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of this season. We want to purify our souls, not just to do that, but in preparation for the second coming. In this Advent, we see externally the violet color of vestments, the candles in violet, the penance asked of you. During this season, we have penance in the color of violet. These things emphasize purification. They are there for you, penance to purify your desires. Violet, to express that purity, that desire to put away the things of this world and of the flesh. But how can we attain this goal of Advent? It may be said it can be attained by unity. This one word of unity is the way to attain this goal of the season. But how can we do that? Why is it so simple that unity is this answer to the reception of the goal of the season that we're in? We see that because of example. We have four examples before us that show us unity as unity. The first is the Trinity. We know Trinity in unity. Three divine persons in one God. That is the apex of unity. That is what we want to strive for ultimately. Then we have our Lord Jesus Christ himself, taken from that unity, which is the par excellence of unity. We take the second person on earth, and he's again another aspect of unity. It is by the union of his human and divine nature, this union which we call the hypostatic union. It is one, two, coming together under one person. So our Lord is one because of his divine person. However, there is a union of two things, the divine natures and the human nature. Then again, we see the liturgy. Holy Mother Church presents to us every year, time and time again, the same mysteries of our Lord, his life from beginning to end, for one purpose. And that is for your sanctification. So again, we see many things brought down and unified under one purpose. Lastly, we see the church. The church that we belong to, the only Catholic, the only true church. But how does this express unity? If we only know our catechism, that is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, it's expressed, unity, universal, Catholic. It's trying to bring everyone under one faith, one baptism. Again, for the sanctification of your soul, to bring every one of us back to the Father. Four examples of unity, which again is that way to attain the fruit of this season. But we must strive to follow these examples, to imitate our Lord. We must strive to be an oasis of faith. In the world today, we have before us hundreds of people, not thousands. But the hundreds of people here are amongst millions. And unless we become unified and become an oasis of that faith, there is no progress. There is no reception of that fruit for our individual soul, let alone for the church at large. So we must strive wholeheartedly to attain this unity. But how is this unity achieved? It is said, unity in action is to battle, to fight, to enter this conflict between the world, the flesh, and the devil. We must take this abstract unity coming from the four examples we have mentioned and put that into action through battle. We must come together and fight against the common enemy, those enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. If we have a common enemy, it is only necessary, but also it's only normal that we would try to ward off the same, be together in this conflict. But we must try to fight, but to fight, there are requirements. We may say there are two requirements to this battle. They are mortification and denial of self. So to take the unity which we know and to apply that into this battle, it requires mortification. It requires self-denial. Thus we see the fruit of this season, the fruit of purification by means of penance, by means of denial of self, by mortification. We see that this fruit of the season we are in comes from unity and consequently that battle, unity in action. If we do not progress, if we do not advance in this battle, we necessarily go backwards. It is said to stand still is to move backwards. You have an example. If you're in a stream, standing with the current coming towards you, if you do not fight the current, after time you will be pushed back. It is an absolute. It is something that naturally happens. If we take that example and apply it to the supernatural realm and see that the angels, the bad angels, were driven out of heaven. They were thrown into hell, coming down from heaven to hell. We are on earth trying to go back to heaven. We are that person in the stream trying to go against the current of those evil spirits. If we do not have a unity and have that action to fight against that current, we will go backwards. We have to see this, and if we see, we must take action. For Pope Leo XIII says, "Nothing emboldens the enemy more than the weakness of the good." The enemy we know, but nothing emboldens him more than our weakness, than our laziness, than our lack of action. If we take this Pope for his word, we will have to necessarily proceed in battle. Because we want to show our vigor, we want to show our strength, not of ourselves, but from grace and through Christ our Lord. That is where we find our strength. But concretely, where do we find this battle but in the Crusades? We must battle, but how can we battle but in Crusades? Presently, we have many Crusades going on. Not as before with the physical crusade, but more especially because our fight is not against flesh and bone, but against the evil spirits, we have those spiritual crusades going. The one you know of, which is the Rosary Crusade, the one that we are going to use that weapon, the weapon from which conquers the devil. We also have the Heart of Mary Crusade. That is to enhance devotion to Our Lady. And we know St. Maximilian Kolbe says, Our Lady is the last resort with this modern problem. Then we have the prayer crusade for priests. What is this but to try to sanctify the priests which are necessary for your salvation? St. John Vianney says, the faithful are always a step below the priest. That is in regards to his sanctity. So if you pray for a heroic saint in your priests, you will be saints. If you pray for a holy priest, you will be mediocre. So this crusade for priests is very important. Lastly, we have the Eucharistic crusade. That crusade which is often put in the cabinets and not even used. It is a particular crusade for the youth, which is there to emphasize the treasure of treasures, the bread of life. That is Holy Communion, which the children are trying to emphasize to receive our Lord as constantly as possible. To participate in this crusade, this battle amongst the common enemy. But again, let us go back and see we have four crusades mentioned, four different avenues of life. But they are again cloaked under that unity of faith, sanctification of the souls. So let us take this opportunity to fight the common battle, to fight the common enemy with unity. Advent is a time to make resolutions. It is a time to make a personal, practical, possible resolution. Not one that you will make and forget or not fulfill. One that is personal, something that's going to help you. Practical, that is going to be able to be done. And personal, practical and possible. We need to try to emphasize maybe even only one resolution during this season, so to make sure we progress and not go backwards. So I encourage you to maybe make a resolution in entering a group in this church, one of the crusades, a spiritual group, the Third Order Society, as you wish. Take something, some resolution which will not only continue for these 4 weeks, but more importantly, progress through your whole life. For resolution is not for a time. You want to continue. So if you give up sweets, that's good. That mortifies you. But you do not necessarily continue that. To take a resolution, if it be to join one of these crusades, that will stay with you. That will have more emphasis for your soul. Therefore, more contribution to this battle, a greater sanctification of your soul. So let us try to enter the heart of Our Lady now, as she possessed in her womb her Son, but also her Redeemer. As she adores our Lord in her womb during this Advent season, let us also adore our Lord as we genuflect. Every time we genuflect, let us put on our lips the words of the liturgy. Veni Domine, noli tardare. That is, come Lord, do not delay. If we but have those words on our lips, again, which will not only be during Advent, but always, you're asking not for our Lord to come at Christmas, but again, looking forward to the second coming in which our Lord will judge us. So let us take St. Paul's words in today's epistle. Let us rise in battle from the sleep of our faults, for the time is now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.